why I want now to take this opportunity to formally congratulate you for having been appointed as the head of this party. We want to wish you well and hope that you steer this department in the right direction. And hope that you are the officials that work with you will cooperate with you so that we can live a better life to our people out there. You would know that the mission of this government is to live a better life. You know that everybody who wants for the delivering of better life, he or she is in place. And I can see it doesn't mean that there is in place among you. I know you are not in place. So, once again, thank you very much and congratulations for the appointment. Now, because we meet you, so, you know, if our meetings are cannot regular. As a result, we forget who we are. We forget who is you, who is that, you know? Because there are too many sort of things. And then last time you in paper. So maybe it would be good for us to once again read for you. Maybe it would be good for us. It is because of objective conditions, you see, we deal with four other countries. So, unlike the NA, we don't have time to meet all of you. I mean, the regular is in one. I will first ask all members to introduce themselves out there. My name is PSC, my name is Solo. PSC Solo, I come from Mpumalanga. I'm representing Mpumalanga in the SAP. I will ask all of you to introduce themselves.
My name is Bilagari from Boston, Natal. Thank you. Thank you. My name is Faith Maxwell. I'm from the Smart Talk Cafe.
I'm not sure how smart you can be.
Thank you very much, Chairperson and honorable members, and I very much appreciate Chairperson your congratulatory remarks, and yes indeed, I've got a team with me. Some of my colleagues are based here in Cape Town, and some I came with them from Pretoria, and they are, of course, not me. They are quite very dedicated colleagues. I've had an opportunity to work with most of them over the years, and but they are also new additional staff in the department. I'm going to ask my colleagues to introduce themselves. Just in case I make a mistake, but let's start with Mr. Pontica over there.
I'm from HR, Department of Public Health. Honorable member, this is Sandy Lemon Manager of Section 45.
Morning, good morning, everybody.
Morning, honorable member. My name is Marcia Rataka Mukuka from Coordination and Community.
Thank you. Now that we know who is here, we can actually start to interact. Now today we're going to look at the Department of Arts and Culture in budget book and the strategic plan for the year 2008-2009. The Secretary told me that he looks like he's not yet officially sitting in Parliament, but he said, no, we interact. Even if it's a dark project. We were a little bit surprised when we thought all departments by now have actually changed their plan for 2008-2009. Even if we are going to interact with the department, on the document that they have given to us. Now, the unfortunate thing also, again, is that honorable members have not had an opportunity to read this document because my friends are here telling me that this document reached him yesterday and it was not possible to at that particular time to distribute it to honorable members. So honorable members are seeing this document for the first time now as we are here. Another thing is a little bit unfortunate. The procedure in Parliament, well, maybe there's no law, but I think it's a convention in Parliament that we will receive documents before time. So that as members we are able to go through the documents, and the documents, and I will scrutinize them. So that when we come to a meeting of this nature, we are ready to interact. Now, as we receive them now, that actually to an extent will affect our interaction with the department. But we hope to have maybe other meetings with the department, and if anything that we will come across after this meeting in this document that we want to engage the department on, we will always do in other meetings. Having said that, I want to ask the DG of the department to give us in the presentation of the department. Directly, he will just take the details of family and I don't know, but we, the part of the DG. DG.
Thank you very much, Chairperson, and my apologies for the late submission of the document yesterday. We had to quickly synthesize the information from our strategic plan. The strategic plan has been finalized and it has gone to the printers. And as far as we understand, is that the Treasury regulations require us that we table the strategic plan 10 days before the budget vote of the minister. And the budget vote will be on the 6th of June, and we're quite certain that we will be able to meet that deadline, but I want to apologize for the late arrival of the information, and certainly we are correct about that, and so I take responsibility. getting into the presentation itself, and we will just go over the program and priorities and achievements of the department, and then we will look at the medium-term expenditure framework, expenditure trends, and then look into the 2008-2009 budget summary, and look at details of the program, and then any other, then we will look at additional information. Just to remind ourselves, Chairperson, the aim of the Department of Arts and Culture is to develop and preserve South African culture, to ensure social cohesion and nation building. And I would like us just to pause a little bit, particularly on the issues of social cohesion and the issues of nation building, because some of the serious challenges that are facing us in the country are expressing themselves within the framework of social cohesion. The racist incidents that we saw at the universities reflect a particular shortcoming within the social cohesion amongst us as South Africans. Our inability to be tolerant and be welcoming immigrants in South Africa, particularly for those from the African continent, is quite disturbing. The xenophobic attacks and the measures that we have seen are a matter that is of course for concern. During the last two cabinet reports, we were asked to present the strategy for social cohesion. And in that strategy for social cohesion, we also indicated then that amongst the threats to social cohesion is the issue of racism, xenophobia, and other intolerances that we see ourselves confronted with. Of course, the question of the question of nation building will continue to be the focus of the of the nation as a whole. On slide number four, honourable members, we are just highlighting some of the work that we do within the cluster in government. We are basically focusing on two clusters, the social cluster, and within the social cluster, the work that we do is leading government efforts in social cohesion. And that is looking at the issues of nation building, issues of popularization of national symbols, issues of national dialogue on various aspects of social cohesion, national identity, and nationhood. And honorable members might have picked up that there is quite a lot of debate that has been going on already on the issues, of racism, and particularly now the issues of xenophobia have grabbed the national attention. We are embarking on various social mobilization campaigns to build social solidarity and to state of communities and strengthen social cohesion. This we are not doing alone as the Department of Arts and Culture. This is the work that we do as a social cluster. Of course, there is an ongoing debate now on the national school pledge, and which is a debate that is being led by ourselves and the Department of Education. The second cluster that we are working on, which is quite an important one, is the Information Society and Development Cluster. which is co-chaired by the Department of Communication and the Department of Arts and Culture. The Department of Communication is mainly looking at the technological side of the development of ICT, and we as the Department of Culture, we are looking at the provision of content in that cluster. The main focus of the work that we do there is to develop the national digital repository so that we can digitize the archival and librarian heritage of the country. And we may be digitizing the cultural heritage. And of course, we are looking at the issues of accessibility of the ICTs. And this is also coming up with a number of other interesting challenges in terms of intellectual property rights and looking at the development of a legal framework to address that. We are also linking this cluster to our community library, and we're linking our libraries to the development of ICTs in libraries and our heritage institutions. In this way, we hope that at least the collections that are within the libraries and the heritage institutions can also be easily accessible to educational institutions. And we are also looking at the implementation of open source software in and around the identified Dinaledi school. Getting that honorable member, is the work that we are doing within the cluster in government. And we are participating in governance cluster because archives is about government, and but the main our major focus is on these two clusters. Coming to the programs of the department, and we have got program one, which focuses on the administration of the program of the department. The purpose of program one, and which is corporate services, it is to provide an overall management and provision of centralized support services to the departmental program in order to create an enabling environment for the achievement of developmental objectives, as well as the coordination and development of systems that will help us to effectively and efficiently manage the operations of the department. Our priorities in this area of corporate services this 2008-2009 financial year, the first one is to strengthen the capacity of the department by filling the vacant posts. We have gone a long way to actually address the issues of capacity in the department. And we are currently conducting an organizational development exercise to improve the efficiency and effectiveness in service delivery in the department. This OD exercise, or organizational development exercise, will precisely assist us in identifying the areas that need strengthening within our organizational structure. We are now finalizing the policy review process, which we have started last year, and we hope that by September we would have published the results of the review process. We also continue to implement a social cohesion program, as I've indicated earlier on, and also the corporate services offer IT infrastructure support to all our programs, and participate in government information communication technology and disaster recovery and plan. The issue of IT is a big challenge in government because we get people, they get trained, and as soon as they get trained, they are snapped by private sector. So the turnaround is just it's actually destabilizing the work that we do in terms of recruitment. And in some cases, let me just say, in most cases, the government is not able to compete with the salaries that are there in private sector. So we need to find a way we can work with business community to actually address this matter of kind of called poaching. Yes, if you are poaching stuff from us. my worry is I think that we will be surrounded with a lot of monkeys, and that's dangerous in terms of our operations. We've got a very sophisticated country to run, and we also, in this section, ensure compliance with government legislative framework and through effective and efficient financial management, legal advice and support, as well as through performance information and annual reporting. And of course, we have a publicity campaign and other communication the achievement thus far is that in terms of the vacancy rate, 54 posts out of 93 have been filled that have been advertised since October 2007. And HR policies, gap analysis of HR policies has been done to identify policies that need to be reviewed and developed. And 11 policies have been approved and 6 are in the draft form. Attending workshops, 3 are ready to take place every month for the unions and the employer representatives are in place to discuss and finalize policies which are in the draft form. Skills development, we have got 100 interns that were recruited by the department, with 80% of those placed in our institutions such as the theaters and the museums, and the rest of them, they are within the department itself. More than 60% of our interns come from the previous intake. Have managed to secure permanent employment. So we are actually seeing a way that the internship serving as a way to prepare and skill people for jobs. In terms of employment equity, one of our employment equity programs prioritized by the department is mentorship and coaching by targeting female senior managers with intention of addressing representativity at senior management level. That is as far as program one of the department goes, and that is a corporate service. The second one really gets into the content of the department, and that is program to art and culture in society. The purpose of this program is to develop and promote art and culture in our country and mainstream its role in social development. The priorities for this particular financial year is to develop a coherent implementation plan to improve mass participation by the youth in art and culture. One of the challenges that we're having, again, linking this to this question of social cohesion, is that we find that we are faced with a lot of challenges when we look at the South African youth, be it the challenges of drugs, be it the challenges of alcohol, be it in substance abuse in general, teenage pregnancies, and just quite a lot of challenges when it comes to social values. And the question I think that honorable members need to get your assistance on is also on whether in our country we are not overemphasizing interventions at youth level and we are forgetting the children of the country. So that by the time we make interventions, I'm sorry to say it's too late. We are actually dealing with I don't want to sound derogatory, but we're dealing with damaged goods, you know. By the time they reach youth, they already have fallen pregnant, all right? And they are fathers, but they are not able to buy themselves a pair of socks, you know. And that burden transfers over to the portfolio of ministers created here, social development. Then it goes into grants, it goes into this. And the implications just go beyond that one little thing. So one of the things that we are saying is that we've got to intensify efforts of in the area of arts and culture to actually intervene early childhood intervention, in order to do that, we need to continue to work and ensure broader programs and participation within the community agenda. Because I think that a lot of the cultural work, the artistic things, the work that happens in the community agenda can provide an early intervention, particularly in terms of the dissemination of specific social values without indoctrinating the children. Is to ensure a broader access by, one of the things that we are doing is to ensure a broader access by communities through the national community art centers and structures to the performing arts. And another priority for us now is this year is on the promotion of art access in correctional facilities, the promotion of moral regeneration program, and we are working together with the National Religious Leadership Forum and other stakeholders in civil society. The achievement so far is that we have developed a Vision 2010 strategy, which we have tabled to the cluster of government and to cabinet, and which outlines the framework and for preparedness for South Africans to host 2010. Because honorable members, as you would know, a lot of the focus on 2010 is on the infrastructure and the stadia and all of that, but we are working on programs that are saying as a social cluster that are we as a country socially ready? What kind of host will we be? You know? For example, we're looking at doing a number of campaigns, particularly around the host cities, doing social histories of the host cities, instilling a sense of pride and patriotism among South Africans and so forth. One of the achievements that we have done was to establish orchestra ensembles in the last 4 years to create permanent employment for the artists. Of course, we have increased the funding to the National Arts Council quite significantly, and that increase has translated into broader funding for the arts and culture sector in the country. Yesterday we were finalizing on the strategic plan of the National Heritage Council, and with the management of the National Heritage Council, and we have managed to, for example, prepare and have 16 million to increase the funding of the National Heritage Council, so that they can do certain things, such as running the Ubuntu campaign, popularizing the values of Ubuntu, and assisting us in social cohesion. I'm mentioning this because generally there has been an increase in our statutory bodies, whether it is the National Arts Council, the National Heritage Council, and we actually welcome that. Then program three is the component of our work which deals with national language services. The purpose there is to develop and promote the official languages of South Africa and enhance the linguistic diversity of the country. The priorities this year is to ensure the implementation of the National Language Policy Framework, and our second priority in the financial year is the establishment of provincial language committees to ensure the promotion and awareness of multilingualism. And let me just pause a little bit there, honorable members, and just point out that there is a trend that is actually quite worrying in our country, that whenever we talk about multilingualism, you find that the born-free are moving away from African children are moving away from African language to English. All right. White children are not encouraged to study and speak African language. So, it's a challenge, it's a psychological challenge, because it's very odd, it's very disorientating to live in a country and say I'm a citizen of this particular country, but at times when the country engages in specific discourses, you are not able to understand and participate in the conversation. It's that thing alienates people. So, it's a challenge that that needs to be addressed, because we cannot carry on like this, where white children and fellow compatriots in this country at times find themselves dislocated in national conversation. And that on its own is another challenge for social cohesion, because we will talk and now and again meet one another, because throughout these languages, or through these languages, we carry cultural values, we carry social values, we carry political values, and so forth. And if there is a gap amongst ourselves in understanding, then we end up not having conversations, people start yelling at one another. So it's a challenge that really needs to be addressed, because it's going to catch up with us down the line.
By the parents of these children, which are younger, we are older children.
Yes.
Absolutely. Last time I checked, I was in the
check. How much is the check?
Yeah.
So,
no, not
kids on the pipe. The military I would like to speak on behalf of the honorable members, but these issues are quite passionate issues, and when you raise them, then the passion comes out. So I do understand the honorable members. So another priority for us, of course, is the establishment of the National Center for Human Language Technology. This is proving to be quite an interesting initiative, because it links up to technology and languages. It links up with computers, language, banking, and language, and all of that. And this is what will take African languages into the 21st century in terms of development. But I must say, honorable members, that one of the things that I've just come to realize is the fact that to a large extent, we talk about the development of African languages and try and seek for solutions somewhere. We crack our skulls and look for solutions. What are the Belgians doing? What are so-and-so doing? And we tend to stay away from home. Afrikaans was developed as a language of law, of economy, of politics here in South Africa. And the expertise that helped Afrikaans to develop as a language, those expertise have not emigrated. Right, the University of Oregon State, they've done the road at Stellenbosch. And then the challenge comes, what is it that you can do to take that skill and that capacity that is there, to leverage that capacity to develop African language? That for us, I think, should be the trajectory moving forward. So I do want, I do intend to engage with the university and particularly the former African owned universities of Stellenbosch, Potch, Free State, and so forth, and so that we can actually have a national conversation on how we're going to be leveraging the skill and to improve and develop African languages. I also do think that once we link the language development to technology, we will then be unlocking the economic potential of these languages, and then people will then find a way to go and study these languages. Because the reason why people are not, we are seeing a decline in postgraduate and graduate degrees in African languages, because people at the end of the day, they say, but I've got this degree, but what value is this degree going to be, you know? But one thing we are thinking about is that technology is going to be with us until we go and with our forefathers and even beyond. So by making technology to these languages, leapfrogging the language. It's a very exciting initiative, and I think we can be able to deliver on it. The achievement in terms of the National Language Services has been the establishment of language development research centers, and today here we have been partnering with the historically black university, and these language development research centers have been looking at development of African languages. The University of KwaZulu-Natal, University of Limpopo, and so forth. One of our achievements has been to regulate and accredit the language profession by establishing the South African Language Practitioner Forum, and then the sponsorship for the postgraduate students to study African language. Program 4, deals with the issues of cultural development, international cooperation, and investing in culture. The purpose here is to improve economic and other development opportunities for South African arts and culture, nationally and globally, to through mutually beneficial partnership, thereby ensuring the sustainability of the sector. The priority for us, is to manage bilateral and multilateral relationships through cultural agreements and co-production treaties and so forth. There is a trend amongst South African artists at times, and they will say, the South African government does not care for us, that's what we need. It's a dance, it's a feast, it's what have you, who are giving us the resources. And that is actually not true, because first and foremost, it is the government itself that has negotiated those cultural agreements, which enable them to participate. For example, the South African Swedish Partnership is a partnership that we finance, and together with the Swiss, we put 25 million and to promote us in Qatar. But people will say, no, Sweden, it's not South Africa. When they get opportunities to go and do contemporary dance in the Netherlands, in Amsterdam, or wherever, and they will say, no, you know, the dance are doing this, but they forget. But who signed the cultural agreement? Who negotiated? Who opened this opportunity to the world? You know? So it's something that I don't know when it started, but I think it does reflect a challenge that needs to be addressed. One of the priorities, of course, this year is the we have prioritized the diplomatic relationship between South Africa and China. Honorable members will remember that South Africa and China are celebrating 10 years of diplomatic relations. And so at the present moment, a huge contingent of South African artists who are in China. The second batch will go again in October. We have been given prestigious platforms by the Chinese. There are national theaters in Beijing, we're performing in Beijing, we're in Shanghai, we're in Hong Kong. They are also bringing exhibitions and performers here. So it's also a they are also bringing some performances here. And another matter that we are doing, of course, in terms of international relations, is the promotion of the African agenda, contributing to NEPAD through initiatives like the African World Heritage Fund and so forth. And our priority, again, is to ensure the training and skills development of curators, art managers, and artists, and other practitioners in the creative industry. This we do through exchange programs. We also ensure the participation of South Africa major film events locally and internationally. At the present moment, we are participating at Cannes in France. Another one of our priorities is to take South African music to the world, as well as to develop technical services in the creative industry for the development of grassroots practitioners to access the market. And the achievement is the establishment of the trilateral between South Africa, Norway, and the National Arts Council to promote music through a program that is called MINO. We do joint funding with the Norwegian government to support the promotion of music there. The funding on investing in culture, 10% of the projects supported are submitted to integrated development plan of the municipalities, and 40% of allocations invested in the project are for supporting the nodes. And and 20% of the supported projects are for the SMMC. And we've conducted road shows nationally for the establishment of the of mapping of the cultural industries in the country. And a program in cooperation with international partners for curator training in the UK and Germany has been developed. And we have got a pilot program on youth training and development in African languages for screenplay writing, and which we have just completed. And there are a number of treaties that we have ratified, but the most significant one in the ratification of the Convention on the Protection of the Diversity of Cultural Goods and Services. This treaty is very, very important in the sense that throughout the world, one finds that there is no diversity in cultural and artistic products. Find that to a large extent, well, if you look at South African television, for example, over 60% of the content of South African television is not South African. And so we should, that perhaps we shouldn't be surprised when we find our youth mimicking. And so you find that in music, you find that in films, you find that in television, and the attempt by the world community when it developed this convention was to address that specific challenge. We've been working with a number of countries such as Brazil, Canada, France, and so forth, and to address this matter. There is a program which is called the IMCP, that is the Informal Network on Cultural Policy, which is it's a network of government and trying to promote and ensure that there is diversity in cultural products in the world. And it's also about access to the market. We have contributed to the India-Brazil South Africa framework by exhibiting the beautiful things craft exhibition and both in India and in Brazil. Brazil has got a potential, a huge potential for us. The challenge is still is the language, but in terms of cultural exchanges, I think there is a huge potential for cooperation between South Africa and Brazil, and it is one area that we need to look at quite carefully, particularly in terms of television programming. So that there is actually some diversity. What is of concern to me is not really the fact that the programming is American or this, but it's just a question of violence. You know, I mean, I think there are movies, you can watch movies that can still entertain you. But between 8 and 10, whether you are tuning on channel 1, 2, or 3, it's that gun. And whenever there's a problem, come up with a gun, then the gun solves the problem, you know? And this thing is reinforced every other day on our screen. And then that level of violence, I'm sure there is a connection between that level of violence that we are exposed to every day on our television screen and the level of violence that we see that is in terms of the usage of these things. And honorable member, I think one area that we need to have a debate about is national conversation. And that do we actually require this? Can we source programs that are still entertaining with, that you can still watch without having to just solely rely on sex and guns? But anyway, that conversation I will have with my colleagues at public broadcast. But I think it is important that we talk about this because you know it's about what kind of a South Africa do we want to have? What kind of character is education? And as people who are working in the area of art and culture and issues of social cohesion, I think these conversations are quite important. And the fifth program, honorable members, is the one that pertains to heritage promotion, and the purpose is to develop and monitor the implementation of policy, legislation, and strategic direction for identifying, for conserving, and promoting cultural heritage. We are emphasizing cultural heritage rather than natural heritage, because the natural heritage is being looked after by the Department of Environmental and the priority is to develop national policies on intangible cultural heritage, and that's going to be our priority this year, as well as to conduct the national audit of intangible cultural heritage of South Africa. Another priority will be to deepen and consolidate the transformation of the national heritage institution, and there is interesting work that is going over there, but we are not yet there. Another priority would be to intensify fundraising campaigns to the NEPAD agenda through the establishment of the African World Heritage Fund. As a matter of fact, this fund has already been established. It is operational. It is based at the Development Bank of Southern Africa. And we have had a number of countries contributing to the fund. I think we now stand at $5 million. Yeah. But with our target for the initial core endowment is 10 million. We have with pledges, we move up to $8 million. Another priority is to conduct social cohesion campaigns through the national public hearing on geographical names. And this is one matter that is raising a number of concerns and passions. A pattern that is actually quite interesting here, honorable members, is that when we called for a nomination to the South African Geographical Name Committee, was that two trends emerged. One, maybe three. One is that from the white population, the African-speaking population was the highest in terms of sending nominations to serve on the council. The English-speaking community of South Africa was not very there. The Indian population in South Africa, we only had one candidate, and I think it was also self-nomination. I can't remember. You know, and then the African population. Now, if you look at that pattern, it paints a particular picture about the passion that is surrounding the issue of naming and name changing in the country. It's not therefore surprising at times when people say no. The issue of name changes is only targeting the African's heritage, and not the English heritage. They say you want to change to that step, but you have left Devon, and so forth. One colleague was saying that there are people with, who were in the Eastern Cape who were defending the King Lansdowne, and they did not know which King William was that King Lansdowne name after, because they were still for 17 William in the British monarchy, but they could not say which King William was. And but what is actually quite interesting about it is that that King William was directly linked to Queen Victoria, and I think the grandfather to Queen Victoria, King William was there. But it's the only place where you find a grandfather and a granddaughter. Because when you go to King William, I'm right in the middle of Queen Victoria, you can see the statue of Queen Victoria. And quite fascinating. But I'm raising this is like this because it points out the heritage landscape of the country. That when we are suddenly talking about geographical names, we're targeting a specific community more than it is addressing the issues of the heritage landscape of the country. And that deep conversation, we are starting with a campaign this month. And the end of this month, and no, next month, we're starting next month, yeah. We're supposed to start end of this month, we're starting next month. We will be going through the provinces and with the South African Geographical Names Committee and the political principles to start a national conversation on the issues of geographical names. We are also, another priority is conducting skills audits for the heritage sector. And to also conduct research on the, this is a very interesting one, conduct research on the social history of the host city of 2010. And if you look at Cape Town, if you pick up on Cape Town brochures, even on tourism, and it's like as if there are no people, black people who are living in the city. The social histories of population don't come out, the social histories of Langa and Gabeni, they're just gone. You pick up anything on Cape Town, you see waterfront, you see Cape Mountain, you see Cape Forest. You know? And the fundamental question that's going to come is, who are these people of Cape Town who are going to be hosting? Go by and Masuka. So the same thing with Devon, the same thing with Dobek. Who's telling the history, the social history of the West? So, that's my house thing. But what we are trying to do is to say that in preparation for...
Because you put your ear on.
Is that fine?
Not working. You've been overriding everybody, then they decided to listen to you.
As part of the preparation for 2010, we will be conducting research and doing publication on social history of the whole city. We will, priorities are also to ensure the completion of the Freedom Park project by 2009. And another priority is the linking of heritage to tourism initiatives through the identification of heritage routes. And we've got some, for example, the inland heritage routes, and we have got I'm just thinking now. The one that goes towards the Gozo. That route there. But we want to be doing similar with throughout the country, just to link to the local authorities. The achievement, another priority is the one we are involved in the restoration of the historic school as part and parcel of protecting and preserving the heritage of the country. And next week, there will be a gathering at Hilltown, and it's one of the initiatives that is aiming at preserving this historic school. And in terms of the achievements, we established a fully fledged research and policy unit, and the electronic linkages between that department and heritage institutions have been opened. We have appointed, inaugurated, and inducted new council members for all our heritage institutions. And we have got the new South African Geographic Funding Council, which has been inaugurated on the 27th of November last year. And we also have successfully commemorated various historical events, such as the commemoration of the sinking of Edward Mendy, that event took place here in Cape Town. We partnered with the Steve Biko Foundation in the commemoration of the death of late Steve Biko. And as I've indicated, we have established an operational African World Heritage Fund to enhance preservation and promotion of world heritage sites in Africa. In terms of the archives, records, and libraries, most people think that archives is just a place where we go and we deposit papers, and that's about it. But archives get to the core of the issues of government. I always say that if there is no paper trail, you end up with oral history. And oral history in government is a risk. It's a huge risk. Because it encourages corruption. And this oversight is absolutely, absolutely important. We need to ensure that across government departments, that archival standards and management of records is kept to the best possible professional standards. Because if we do not do that, and as I said, there are other risks that then come out. So this program. The purpose is to guide, sustain, and develop the archival, heraldic, and information resources of South Africa so that we can empower citizens through full and open access to this information and resources. The priorities in terms of the heraldic services is to popularize the national symbol and consolidate on the national identity program. And we are completing a new campus for the National Library in Pretoria. Another critical priority for us is the rolling out of the Community Library Project to promote the culture of reading, of learning and reading. And next year, we also want to, we have been involved, let me start by saying that we have been involved with in Mali, working with the Malian government in the development of, in the building of a library and the restoration of the Timbuktu manuscript. We will complete this project next year.
the achievement quickly shifted is the number of researchers registered for the first time using our libraries in Christine. We have successfully hosted the annual oral history conference in the Popo. We have got new versions of updated record management policy, and the manuals were approved. A consultation with stakeholders on the drafting of the library transformation charter has taken place. That chairperson is the program that we were doing. But what are the financials looking like? I'm going to quickly go over them and to just give you a sense of the resistance that we've been working with. Between 2004, 2005, and 2007 and 2008, the department budget grew at an average annual rate of 15%, and this was mainly due to the additional resources for capital work, and such as developing Freedom Park, upgrading and maintaining the infrastructure of our museum, and improving public and community library services. This growth is sustained over the medium-term expenditure framework period, and it is sustained at an average annual rate of 12.5%. This growth, of course, is affected by projects such as Freedom Park, which will end in 2008-2009, and projects related to 2010 FIFA World Cup, including the preparation for the opening and closing ceremony, for which funding will end in 2009-2010 financial year. Provision for the community library services conditional grant to improve community library services and for upgrading the public entities is extended over the MTEF period. Continuing with the expenditure trend, honorable members, the 2008 budget increased the allocation to the department by an amount of 536 million in 2008-2009, and then 295 million in 2009-2010, and decreased it, and then it is decreased by 24 million in 2010-2011. Additional allocations that we have received in this MTEF include the implementing the social cohesion campaign, and is 10 million in this current financial year. In the next one, it will be 15, and then we'll end at 20. Upgrading the infrastructure of public entities to 63 million, 120 million. And 150.8 million, and preparing for FIFA World Cup, 50 million for 2008-2009, 75 million in 2009-2010, and it's not just only the issues of closing and opening and closing ceremonies that we're looking at here. We are also looking at upgrading some of the infrastructure. Particularly within the host city, because we believe that people are not going to be continuously in the state. And as it were, the buzz must happen in our performing spaces, our theaters, our cinemas, our music halls, and for example, we have identified the playhouse in Port Elizabeth. That is one of the infrastructure that is in need for full spirit upgrading and so forth. So we are working with the province to identify things that the key infrastructure that needs to be upgraded in preparation for 2010. There is also a one-off additional allocation of 150 million. For upgrading of heritage institutions in the 2009-2010.
The inflation adjustment for personnel and non-personnel items is there 12 million, 12.8, 14.9, and 15.6. In terms of the budget, we have been allocated 2.1 billion. The public entities take 852 million, capital works 350 million, other transfer payments institutions such as National Arts Council and so forth. Other transfer payments is 284.5. For community libraries is 338 million, and for the running of the department, there we are, 291. So what we see is that transfers to our institutions dominate the total budget allocation at 86.21%. And this poses a particular challenge, honorable members. And that challenge is the oversight, monitoring, and evaluation of the institution, whether the work that they do, whether the work that they do is aligned with the priorities of government. And it's a huge challenge. So the issues of monitoring the strategic plan of institutions in allocating that is quite the work that serious attention. Now there is a graphic display of the budget in terms of those percentages. Chairperson, in the interest of time, the Art and Culture and Society Program, there we are, social cohesion, this is how to attend on Women's Day celebration, art education and training, and so forth. It's just disaggregating that 333, which was before, and that, of course, that 2010 Cup. National Arts Council and so forth. And the slide number 16 disaggregates the funding that goes to the playhouses. Slide number 17 disaggregates the funding that goes to the promotion of multilingualism. And then slide number 18 is cultural development and international cooperation, and disaggregating cultural industries, investing in culture, international work that we do, and the work that goes to the National Film and Video Foundation. And slide 19 disaggregates the 885 that is allocated to the heritage sector. And as well as slide number 20 still is a carrying on the declared cultural institution. May I just take this opportunity to draw your attention to the last item on slide 20, which is the Castle of Old. And the 3.5 million that is there is 3.5 we are using for managing the process of the transference of the castle from the defense to the Department of Arts and Culture. That process is still underway. And so that is just what we have budgeted to in order for us to manage the transition. Page of slide 21 is archives, libraries, and heraldic services, and that's the 463 segregated there. Now,
Perhaps I can draw your attention to that. That is just the graphic detail of how our budget has grown, starting from financial year 2005 to 2006, and with up to 2010-2011. And that about is from me, honorable member. We'll welcome interaction with you on the presentation. And I will take the easier questions and the difficult ones I will reflect to my colleagues. Thank you, sir.
Thank you very much, thank you for the presentation. I'm now going to, without much ado, allow other members to add to the full presentation we have received from the DG. Honourable members, I'm going to allow you time for questions and comments. Honourable Makubu will be followed by Honourable Zarazi, will be followed by Honourable Makubu. That's the first round of questions.
Yeah, no, thank you very much, and let's thank the department. I am Frank, the
person who is nice with me. I don't know your face, you speak
to me. Yeah, no, I was helping the lady. Yeah. Oh, come up.
The same time we did it.
Yeah. No,
thank
you. One is, one is on the deployment of ICT in the libraries and everything. There's English words that are within there. They talk about implementation of open source and software in the coverage of the knowledge. I'm sure the person is now one of our oversight is over school. If they can unpack what is that open source software, then they will recall that some of us we passed through tough and tough calls, so we never came across some of these things. So if they can unpack it, exactly what is entailed in this open source software, and how is also is it linked to the OBE, the outcome-based education, in relation to the various subjects that are actually offered in our school. And then the next question, Chairperson, I think it's still linked to language, which is your slide 8, where they're focusing on certain language. You know, just to check, Chairperson, to what extent is the department assisting schools? In making sure that your mother tongue education becomes a priority. I think the minister and MEC has declared that at foundation phase, there needs to be an emphasis that children actually learn their mother tongue. But time and again, you find our very own black people are the ones who want to send their kids to these creches that talk English. You find a child cannot even say ukoko, but it's called Ukraine, and when they talk among themselves, they speak in English. And I usually ask them, yeah, we call Mulu, I'm going to call for like you will never. But our own kids are actually, I'm talking about other kids, not mine, I'm not going to. They talk English among themselves, they never went to Mulu.
And I never told them, most of us are
today we are multiracial, so we are trying to accommodate other nationalities. But time and again, I emphasize they must learn other African languages. So as there's two of us, although of course, not talking about the world, but to what extent? Because you find you go to model city schools. The emphasis there is that the type of languages they teach the children their languages. But to go to our own schools, I feel there are no languages. Mm-hmm. Instead, they want to put French, Portuguese, and all other. Parents decide in an SGP meeting that the languages that they want to be taught in a school are your French and your Portuguese. So now, where is that culture of making sure that our kids actually learn their languages? And then on this cultural international cooperation, of course we wish that this is a good effort that our artists are able to go to international platforms, including China, for that cultural exchange. But some of these things have got motives underneath, underlying motives why the people doing that. And maybe the department needs to emphasize to the Chinese people not to do this from homes of our individuals. So meaning the issue of patent rights also comes in. Because we find some of our own South African things that our own mothers and grandfathers produce, you find them on international markets. You wonder how they arrived there. And if those people actually benefited, everything is certain wrong machine for a lab in China. I mean, how can you find the relative in China? Being manufactured there, and yes, it originates here. So meaning our patents are not protected somewhere. People just come in, steal our things, go and produce them, like a bush tea. Some go in America say bush tea, yeah. And yet bush tea here in South Africa. So to understand is the department also observing, if not monitoring, including these manual conventions that keep on passing in Parliament. I don't see them being implemented here personally now. People keep on being exploited, things keep on hitting our shores, and nothing else is actually happening. Well, on the issue of what the director was talking about, this thing of feelings that are violent and any other thing, she said, you know, there's a film and publication board. We'll visit legislation that gives them more power to be able to serve others. I think you can also engage them. Don't only engage the public. There are people, structures that have been put in place, you cancel. About the FTV, you don't mention it. You're not from, I don't know what time to what time, any time when people tune in. If I don't do things that I'm talking about, there's even an action channel now. Specifically, blood and guns and any other thing that you'll actually find there. And the tuk-tuk, I don't know
That's unparliamentary, honorable member. But the meaning is unparliamentary. I want to repeat. Go on, please. I have ruled that is unparliamentary.
Cutting off horns and any artifacts. To what extent is the security, the department has budgeted for security, especially for our museums, because apparently they are now a market for other people. They break in, they know what it is that they will find and go and serve. To these markets that I was talking about, I don't want to mention names, otherwise I'll be that. Coming on to money, Chair. There's the one of the 50 million in 2008-2009 for the FIFA. If they can unpack Chaperson, because I can see it has been staggered for 2008-2009, and then in 2009-2010 there's 75 million. To say exactly what it is that's actually going to happen here, because I'm sure I'm a mention of 2010, but I see there are opening ceremonies. And Chaperson, you know, Tina, we represent provinces. So, and you find in provinces, also you find UNAMA, Department of Arts and Culture. Now, in the allocation, I don't see how you accommodate provinces or where do they get their money in order to be able to do that, because I know there must be a pie somewhere that is cut and given to provinces. But when I look at all these monies, I only see our playhouse and all other institutions that exist, but I don't see how you allocate to provinces for them actually to continue this wonderful work, Chairperson. And you know, when we look at some of these monies, I'm not sure they are millions or 44,000 rand, because I mean there is just written rand thousand, you know. So or 44,000 rand, Noma. You know, if maybe they can also so that then we get an idea. Because I'm looking at Robben Island, then I can say maybe they got 46,000, or I can say they got 46 million. Government shows me 1, 2, 3, 5, you know, to that. And what justifies some of these allocations and to some of these institutions actually account. The other time Robben Island was a public account. The way they were dealing with them, how their financial management is in tatter. But I can see they are the ones that got the most allocation, and yet they cannot properly account for their money. Whether you put in place these policies that you pass, including about PFMA, how they're supposed to account for the money, and any other thing that they're supposed to follow, Chairperson. I'll pause the Chairperson. I'm sure members will be able to take up some of the issues. I don't want to delve much on community life violence, because time and again, we talk about issues of community life violence.
Next.
Chairperson, I'm sorry that my next door has dealt with what I...
There's no door there.
My problem. My neighbor here must be taken, because I was going to talk about languages. Because I'm also worried about it. Because I can see that the indigenous languages in these modern state schools, it is made to be the pet language. Some they decide to teach three instead of two, and then when they teach it three, this one now, which is indigenous, becomes number three, and this they do it in the small children sometimes, and the children, they do like the indigenous language, but they will say that in our school, we are doing it as number three. So now we know it's a bit offending, but I don't think that you follow them. You just make these laws, and we make the laws and rules, they are not followed for implementation. So in the school, they do what they want, and nobody can follow. And then we just work on here saying that the parents are saying this, these are saying this. Please, there's still something that needs to be done in our language. I had a problem so far. And there's this announcement that keeps on coming in our TV and radios about the digital television that is coming. Are you having awareness on how is that going to work? Because we are just forewarned not to buy television now, we have to wait until November, something like that. There's this digital television coming online. So maybe it's better to have a bit of insight before it is introduced. Thank you. When people ask us, at least you must know how to answer them. Thank you.
Yeah, the language matter, I think the policy on language that I like, that can be better discussed with education. You know, they're not responsible for policy of languages in schools. And coincidentally, we are debating education tomorrow, and we are responsible for that chapter as well. Let's raise those issues sharply. Good.
But they are also a party of it.
Very good.
This is written here.
Okay.
They are also in public.
Okay.
They must give us something.
Okay.
Don't close the door. This is the same class.
Okay,
don't
ma'am.
Close the door.
Okay. Next.
This is okay.
Thank you, Chairperson. Let me also congratulate the DG for the appointment, and also to comment on the vacancy rate from 93 to 54, which I feel at least the department is going somewhere. Chairperson, community art center. If maybe the department can just give us a progress report in terms of the service delivery on this issue. Because as NCOP, I think this year we have done 8 provinces. We never heard of anything about the community art centers where we visited, more particular in townships and rural areas, if you could know where. And also community libraries. I'm saying the township, Farangua. I don't know that forum house library built by municipality or is part of your program. Because to my understanding, most libraries that have been empowered or renovated or upgraded are those who were there before in the city. But in our areas, we don't see libraries. People have to go to town, to cities to go and do, to check the libraries, to do the work there. So it's a concern to us, Chairperson. 14 years down the line, there are no libraries in most of the big areas where we stay. And this program, Invest in Culture, every year we get this thing on our budget or briefing, but we don't see them visible where we stay. Maybe if we can get a breakdown so that we know it is in this province, there are this Invest in Culture program, because here I see the percentage that is being allocated to support that. And also the notes and SMEs. Thank you, Chair.
Yeah, that was the first round of questions. We will allow the department to respond. Then I see there are other hands, which we'll take in the second round. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. I had indicated that the difficult ones I'm going to ask my colleagues to deal with. The matter of open source software, I think my I'm very third world myself when it comes to technology. And we are co-chairing this with communication. And my colleagues, I'm still getting educated on it. But my understanding of it is that what they wanted to do is to be able to use open source software. It's a software that links you for free. Like what was Mark Shuttleworth? I think Mark Shuttleworth was one of the people who were working on this open source software. But also what they were wanting to do is that when they put that IT infrastructure in dinner lady schools, they are also trying to link that to other public facilities, like if there is a health facility there, a clinic, or if there is what are the other centers? Pardon? Yes, yeah, it was post office, health, and so forth. But I can undertake to get you. I think that my colleagues will also add and to enlighten all of us on the issues of open software. Now, to what extent is the DAC helping in the issues of languages? The chairperson has partly answered that question, because it truly is being driven by the Department of Education. Yes, we are involved in terms of promoting multilingualism, but we are not involved in the actual educating and skilling. And it is very much in the hands of the Department of Education. The issue of patents and copyrights is such a challenging issue. Honorable member, and of course it is from our side, it is being led by the Department of Trade and Industry, but it goes across all products. It goes well beyond creative industries. And there were concerns at one stage and about fashion designs, you know, and the designs not being copyrighted, and the issue of the craft. I mean, I know that at times when you pick up the craft, they've got, I know in, what's this place in Johannesburg now? And towards the airport. Yeah, that flea market around there. You always find them, they've got all these giraffes, we have got similar necks and heads, and they're all looking in the same direction. And they are just some of the most boring giraffes I've seen. But when you pick them up, underneath, it says manufactured in Taiwan.
Yeah.
You know? And I've never seen any giraffes in Taiwan. Yeah, and people take, they buy these things, and then they go and mass produce. It is a matter of concern, and but it's being debated at all kinds of levels. I will engage with the Film Publication Board. I will engage with ICASA, and I am worried about the content that is coming up with that new added television station. It's going to just, whether it is going to be the same, much of the same thing. But I think we really need to have a vigorous debate on this one. With regard to the security measures at our museum, on slide 13, if I got it right, yes, and we have been looking at the security and infrastructure of our museum, but we have managed to also to secure more funds, upgrading the infrastructure of public entities. It's 53 million. It's 120. It's 150. That translates to about 322. Million that will be going into upgrading the museums and that infrastructure. With regard to provincial budgets, provinces do budget for themselves, but there are some transfer payments that we do to the provinces. For example, the money that has that was been given to develop community libraries, it was given to National. And we do transfers to the provinces. Also, the money on investing in culture is transferred from National to the provinces. With investing in culture, the provinces are responsible for identifying the project, and then we do the funding. The matter of Robben Island is my colleague says it's a hot potato, and it's a matter of great concern to that department. I did participate when I was attending a Select Committee on Public Accounts. And when the Robben Island was presenting their case, and one of the things, the challenges that we have been having on Robben Island is, well, first let me start by saying that Robben Island, unlike many of our institutions, it's like a little municipality on its own. And it's unlike other museums. It's like there are roads, there are buses, there are harbors to be maintained. The boats. It's just quite a complex operation to run. However, the complexity of that operation requires sophisticated skills to run it. And I am not happy with the quality of the management on the island. And we have discussed this matter with the council that was inaugurated last year. And the matter has been discussed as well with the minister and the deputy minister, the political principals. And we then, in our discussions with the council opted to, precautionary suspension to the chief financial officer of Robben Island and the chief operating officer. There is a forensic audit that is underway, and we will be getting some reports on that. And whatever the report will be, I don't want to preempt the situation, but whatever recommendations that come out of that forensic audit, that we will be looked into quite carefully. You know, what is worrying about Robben Island is that Robben Island is a World Heritage Site. And because it is a World Heritage Site, it has got certain minimum things that it has to do to remain a World Heritage Site. Now, when I was attending the World Heritage Committee meeting last year, there was people are passionate about what is happening on Robben Island, and the ambassador of India to UNESCO made mention of the fact that Robben Island does not belong to South Africa alone. That the world is interested in what is happening on Robben Island. So. And that's the level of attention that we're giving to Robben Island, because we know that the eyes of the world are on us when it comes to that to that side. But not only that, it's just that the history and the legacy of Robben Island requires from all of us an extraordinary amount of vigilance and dedication. And we cannot allow a situation to arise where there is maladministration and mismanagement of Robben Island. Yes, Honorable Member, we have got frameworks such as the PFMNF, Public Finance Management Act, and other treasury regulations. I'm just waiting for the forensic audit to come out, and I will use the necessary legislative framework to address the challenges of Robben Island. With regard to digital TV, ma'am, once again, you are talking to an artist, and I'm not very much. I once listened to this, but a week ago, the DG of Communication was given an hour on SAFM to explain this matter, and the more she was explaining it, the more I was getting confused myself. And I will try and get you some information on digital TV. I hope it won't confuse you, ma'am. But I'm sure that there is just a simplified explanation on the movement from
analog
to digital. All right. Perhaps some of my colleagues might help. It seems as if they understand that distinction. Would you want to?
No, I was just listening. Sorry, thank you, honourable members and colleagues. I was just listening to this whole debate, and it seems like the analog was an old system, and digital is much more satellite friendly, and therefore it can actually filter issues a lot more quickly with digital. And I think this is especially so because we are getting the 2010 coming in, and they want to pass the visuals to around the world, including our country, and this is why they are thinking that we should have digital by 2010.
But that does not suggest that you want to buy new TVs. I don't think it suggests that.
Yes,
I suggest that.
It's the most of our TVs have the old system, the analog, and those will become obsolete technology when digital comes in. That's why many of the shops are selling TVs at a very cheap rate, but we were warned not to buy them because it will be obsolete soon.
Oh, so our TVs will be obsolete?
Yeah.
That's terrible. That's terrible.
The positive side to that, Chairperson, is that if you look at the Johannesburg Stock Exchange, you will see who's manufacturing televisions, and maybe you might consider buying some shares. Because it's guaranteed that the shares are going to go up.
Yeah.
Whoever is manufacturing television.
It must be like recapitalization, must give in our old TV
somewhere,
you know. And give us some money.
They will give up.
Yes. Okay, are you through this year?
The last one was on. I was just wondering, Chairperson, because there's a lot of detail on community art centers, community libraries, and the issues of investing in culture, whether I cannot request that we can come and do a presentation just on these three. Yes, ma'am, the issue of community libraries is a challenge because the cultural infrastructure in the country, like any other infrastructure, is still very much under apartheid influenced infrastructure. So that if you go to, as I said, if you go to a township like Mtanzani, Mtanzani does not have a library. So we are not trying to build a library in Mtanzani. If you go to, to many other places like the township, your township, Kharangul, and so we want to be able to build as well there. Because if you do not do that, you stand up, you end up upgrading the only infrastructure of the library in Seapoint, in Musenberg, in Waterview, and then Langa is left out, Cooks is left out, Kainisa does not have a library. So, one of the things that we need to reverse, yes, it's good that there are mobile libraries. It's good that they are there, but these libraries, the mobile libraries, is like it's an in and out thing, you know. Whereas if you've got an infrastructure that is there, it helps. Some of the kids are not able to learn at home, to do their homework at home, you know. The library becomes a support a system in terms of their learning. And with the challenges that we have in terms of passing rates, immatriculations, and what have you, this matter actually does require attention. So I would like to, with your permission, Chairperson, to go back and ask my colleagues to prepare a proper presentation on community art centers, what we're doing there, on community libraries, and on investing in culture, because these are actually programs that speak primarily to to communities, but specifically to black communities. So it would be good to have an understanding of what is a social investment, what is the nature of that social investment, where is it going, who's benefiting from it, and just to have a proper conversation.
Yeah. When you are ready with that presentation, just your parliamentary liaison, officer, will just get in touch with him so that we are able to schedule that in our program. Is that okay? Good. Any other official who still want to augment on the answers?
My
pendulum was one billion, my pendulum was.
Not there, man.
I'll they answered, Mam V, please. They answered, and I'll take you on board in case there's still some a gap somewhere, you know. But it's essentially, they've said it is policy-wise and everything, it's the Department of Education. They are just promoting it, you know. They are helping to promote. Yes, sir. That's the second round of questions now. Is that the point of order now, or
I
are you...
I don't think your interpretation and your reading is correct. Education department uses language
insofar as education is concerned. But dealing with this report, it talks about language, establishment of language centers and all those
No, things. That's not what Manvi, you know, you're out of order. That's not what Manvi asked. Manvi was asking about languages in schools. Certain schools are doing three languages, others two languages. That's what you are saying. And I'm saying that is the responsibility of the Department of Education.
Okay.
Not what is here. No. I'm talking about what Manji was saying. Yeah.
I withdraw that, Mr.
President. No, I can't suppress that. It is next to my heart, the language. Okay.
Yeah. Jefferson, just a few questions. The first one is on language, on priorities, and even achievements. The thing you say is they have established language development research center. And maybe I must make these comments each with due respect. I think we are very strategic in your reporting, because your report is in on top there. You are saying summary. I think we are interested really about what are that achievements. Can we talk about some salient features in terms of what that particular center have achieved in the context of its own objective of promoting multilingualism, you know, for language policy in South Africa. I think that question is quite critical. The second issue, Chairperson, I want to check whether there's a funding model for arts and culture as a matter of national policy. I'm raising this thing within the context of emerging practices, you know, in various provinces. I was in the budget policy speech of the MEC for arts in the province, and there was a lot of money that was reported, you know, to be supporting emerging arts and culture, whatever, you know. But there seemed not to be some kind of a policy in that respect, you know. And there are some rumblings, you know, even within communities about access to those funds and all those things. And I feel that there should be some kind of a national, you know, policy framework around that particular area. And I want to check whether there is one. And I think this is critical. You've also spoken about these schools of historic significance. I don't want to assume. That's my problem. I don't want to assume because I'm an MP. I understand what you are talking about. I think it's important. So that what do you explain? What does this school of significance, you know, is about? Is it Morris Isaacson High School because June 16 have started there? I just want to make an example. Is it the Lovedale College because Oliver Tambo was there? I just want to have a sense of this because I'm raising these things, DG.
You're talking through the chat person.
Yeah. I'm raising this chat person within the context of polarization that is emerging in South Africa. Around issues of culture, there was a war in KwaZulu-Natal, name change of one of the roots there. Ne? Umam V becomes very passionate about it. So I'm raising this thing within that context. I believe, Chairperson, that the Department of Arts and Culture can play a very strategic leadership role in terms of bringing cohesion around these issues. So that will be my questions for now, Chairperson. What impact that for the first time municipalities in South Africa and provincial governments are beginning to take very seriously. It was Soweto only. Where you go to Soweto? What is this thing? Hector Peterson said conversation. Yeah. It is there, it is living. Everyone who comes from Holland, who comes from wherever, and go there, you know, is interested to go there. But now people will forget that at one point there was this man, whether it doesn't have to be ANC, the former president of the PAC, Robert Sobukwe. He was also, you know, house arrested somewhere in Kimberley, you know. Winnie Mandela was house arrested for almost 5 years in Brantford and all those things, you know. And I'm quite happy that these communities are beginning to take that responsibility quite seriously. And I'll be interested, may not necessarily be now, how does the National Department actually coordinate those efforts at that level to ensure that we promote this issue of community heritage, you know, initiatives, you know. Lastly, Chair, I think we'll be misleading ourselves to assume that the state, even if you can have millions and billions of rands, will address the issue of language. This is not, what is that country, Comrade Tolo, that you like to talk about? Swahili, where they have
Tanzania.
Many languages, but they have got one unifying language, no?
Tanzania.
Africans alone, we are so polarized in terms of languages, no? Where my schools are learning, they can talk to each other. Where my children are learning, they can't talk to each other. She can't talk Sotho because the other one is a Zulu, the other one is a Xhosa, eh? You understand? And they can't speak Sotho either, you know. So this is a very difficult thing, and we must also take our background. You know, I was debating at school, Comrade, we were a teacher. Tell me one single debate society in school that you promoted that was debating in Sotho, any subject,
no.
Or Zulu, or any one of us here, eh? So I'm saying it's a societal issue. To the extent that we take it, ne, within our own responsibility. I'm happy that Comrade Faith, you have said this thing. You have not encouraged it, but your children, even when they talk to each other, they talk in English. You know? So how do we deal with that thing? It's a very complex thing. I don't think we must have some expectations of miracle that the state will address this thing. You know? I think it is wishful to do that thing. Thank you.
Now, it's a societal issue, not only the state, every one of us, but we must promote our language. I think we are. Okay, yeah, no, we come back. So, yes, did you?
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Tolo, Honorable Tolo. My questions are very few, and I'll be very quick on them. This aspect that deals with community libraries, I see you, there's a reflection that deals with the, on slide 12, that deals with the conditional grant. I just want to check if those grants are actually forwarded to the provinces or municipalities for them to carry out that aspect of a community library. I'm not sure where that money goes, but I suspect it goes there to the provinces. And I mean, how much has actually gone to the provinces where they have actually undertaken, you know, establishment of new libraries in communities that never had libraries in the past? I mean, your Sea Point, your Johannesburg libraries are there, but your Khayelitsha's and your Endermark do not have those libraries. I mean, do you have any plan where you have such big projects that will be done in that particular element situation? You know, I'm also not very sure how this department links up with the Department of Education in terms of this aspect of life, because you end up with schools. I don't think the Education Department can put a library in a community. They'll put it in a school. How then do you interact where you get a community library that will service, you know, the entire community in terms of if you've got four or five schools, primaries and high schools, they've got that center which they can actually utilize for this. So I just want to check that aspect that is actually there. It's worrying me, actually. I'm not sure if we have more people that are doing writing or we've got more people that are more interested on your televisions and other things where they're not willing to write books anymore because nobody buys them. Something like that. You know, I'm actually even worried about that. You have actually indicated the Timbuktu project, that I'm okay with that in terms of its completion. I'm not sure the handover, when do you anticipate to have the handover of this particular project, because you're talking about completion and handover of Timbuktu library project. But then, I'm not sure, the last time we were in Pretoria, you were doing something, you were training people from that area. I'm not sure, also perhaps if you can share some light on that. Because now it's a library in Mali, but people were here to be trained for them to be able to do work there, to be able to safeguard the material. that the country has. Chairperson, through you, the last thing is that, you know, the department, you have a Cape Jazz Festival, Cape Town Jazz Festival. I suspect it's the one that has gone past recently.
Yeah.
Now, I just want to check, through you, Chairperson, to the DG, why are they giving members single tickets when they've got partners? This is a time for refreshment. You say to me, here's a ticket for 2 days, you give me one, particularly for members. I mean, why is it like that? Because I'm not comfortable that I need to go there alone when my wife is there. Some people say partners, I'll say your wife. You know, members of parliament must get time to relax and do that. No, Limpopo doesn't talk of partners. Okay, just that, chapter, those two chapters.
Yeah, thank you. I think I think I must give to Honorable Mazala Maguwan. We will take all questions now. This will be the last round.
You know, I'm worried about this new South African Geographical Names Council, which has been formed in November. What was happening before, I'm not sure now how it is structured, because you'll find that a metro or municipality, they are deciding to change name, and there are lots of differences amongst that community, so much that they are taking each other to court for that. Now, how is this one structured? Is it communicating with the municipalities or metro? If I may get a clarity, because this is a new one now, formed November 2007. Also, my second question is on the arts and culture detailed program in page 15. You know, going back to what Member Faith asked, that your budget is not clear, allocations to provinces, you know, because you find here you have a Women's Day celebration. On that day, every province have the celebrations. Provinces have different celebrations on the day, on the Freedom Day, you know, arts, culture, festivals. Now, to us, especially delegates representing different provinces, we want to know exactly how much was given to a certain province for that celebration, you know? Because as is now, we're not sure whether we are speaking of union building or we are speaking of Free State or what. So, in fact, in future, maybe you must restructure your budget details. Thank you, Chairperson.
I said this is the very last. You see, I don't know. Okay, Mom V, what is it, Ma? Mom V? Mom V.
Thank you, Chairperson. Here it says that they promote a national flag. I'm sorry, if you can just give me the one official who is responsible for that, because I've got a national flag that was given to me to host in a certain school, but unfortunately, while the flag was still, they were still in the preparation to do the what you call the hosting. They fought. No, they did not fight. There was this killing spree amongst the principal and deputy and so forth. So now one is in jail. The flag is still, I think, is still in the cupboard. So I want to have a talk with the one who is responsible for hosting of flags, so that he can advise me how to go about with this. It's still bothering me because now I'm about to go and live on pension. And that flag is still in the cupboard because the principal is in jail. No, the principal died. The deputy is in jail. So it's a problem.
Thank you. Honorable Masbugo?
My follow-up was on provincial. I think the DG just indicated that no, we give them transfers through libraries. If Chairperson, they can email we're using now digital things. It may be break up from province, Eastern province, Western Cape province, alphabetical, Eastern Cape, Perengue, Western Cape, so how much was allocated per province. And then also the DG spoke about cultural, mention something or cultural
investing in culture.
If that can also will be given in breakdown, and it's clear, you know. You know, I took the constitution several times to check over the African culture and competence together. I can't find it, Chairperson.
Concurrent.
Yeah. Now, level concurrent in Zulu, the IE, the food is there, it's the IE. They look concurrent, a bell call with the trailer, a Chairperson. If that can be said, because that is why we're asking according to the breakdown of Yama provinces. If they give conditional grants to provinces, they must tell us which conditional grants they give to provinces, because the interest also is also to make a follow up on that. And lastly, Chairperson, I want to come back to Robben Island. You know, because Robben Island was where only male were arrested. That is why you give money to them. There is a jail where women were also arrested. That. And that jail does not get. It's a national, it's a museum, it's a national site. Now that box back. Bonabai Tori Mali, why only give to males where males are arrested? Because now prominent males were arrested there. And yet, women were also arrested, Abotani Mudisa and others, in some of these jails. But nothing is being said about that. And now, this is not the first time I raised this with, while she was still in Hollywood, acting. I raised the issue with you. In Robben Island, each time you get go there, you are told a different story. And I asked DG by then to go and, you know, pretend to be an ordinary person in Nyanga, or maybe send some people. Because each time, I don't know how many times I've been there. No, each time people come visit in Cape Town, they want to be taken to Robben Island. So that's where you get an opportunity of going there. You hear different stories. No one seems to be giving you a story, including a story of Makana. How come Makana became popular? You will hear different stories. How come Makana became popular? So if that can also be followed up, Chairperson. And lastly, Chairperson, you.
How many lastlies now?
This year, while he was still also in Hollywood, he promised to come back to give us information on libraries, specifically. And I remember we may follow up, Chairperson, through you. But they were never invited to come back. He offered what he will come back for libraries. Now, again today, he's offering to come back on arts and culture. You are promising them a slot. And I'm definitely sure, they want to come back to us. But when our chance, there's a lot that we want to engage them with, Chairperson, but you never give them a chance to actually come back. And the problem is, soon we'll be told to go for campaigns, election campaigns, and maybe
some of us on campaigns.
Exactly.
Honorable Teaching, we will disappoint you by inviting them here. Teaching.
I forgot one thing on this geographical name change. I just want to check with the department. I've been informed, but let me verify with you that there's a name change that has happened. There's nothing wrong with it. But it looks like it hasn't been registered. Senwaba Rana, can you check for me? Because if it's not registered, then it will be a problem for it to be used. It must be used, it's correct, but I suppose that the process of registering should have Senwaba Rwana and Limpopo. Just check for me, just all. I just want to make sure that whoever gives misinformed me, then I'm able to go back and say you are wrong. But if the information is right, then how do we correct it to make sure that it's in order? Thanks.
Yeah, no, I just want to see. Yeah, fine, it's all right.
Okay, S-E-N-W-A. R-W-A-N-A. Okay. I'll write something. Don't worry.
Yeah, okay, thank you very much. I also want to put in some two or three questions so that when they respond, it's because this is the last round. I want to go back to the question of the language as a start. You see, languages are, as you indicated, I mean, also part of our heritage. And therefore, we've got to try to preserve them, and also not only preserve, but to develop them. I think that is the idea. Otherwise, they will be like Latin. Will be dead languages in future if we don't do anything along those lines. And you see, I don't know what is it that, for instance, your task is to, because I was saying, I said to Prince out at some stage that maybe we need to try to sponsor some competition, you know, in terms of debates, even members of parliament, where members of parliament need to be encouraged to debate in their mother tongue. You know, they don't do it, or we don't do it. We don't do it. Maybe, no, but you are just a tiny minority. I'm talking about members of parliament in general. The majority of them don't use their languages to debate. And we still want to see a situation where we do so. But I'm saying, maybe if there is some incentive for, just to try to encourage them. Because they don't do it, to encourage them to say, look, the one in the one financial year who has used more minutes in terms of debate, then you get some token of some sort. You know, something of the sort. I'm sure we'll be able to, because we are role models, members of parliament are role models to many, many people out there. When they see us speaking our own languages, people will also speak their own languages. Don't be afraid to speak their own languages. It will be a sad story to find ourselves in Angola, I don't know what the situation now. People will be afraid to speak their own language, Kimbundu. You want to talk to Kimbundu with them, they say, I will not comprehend, I don't understand. This person is an African, but you say, I don't understand. So we want to move away from that situation where we can't speak our own languages. And we say it's a sad thing when people are afraid or they are ashamed to speak their own language. It's a very sad thing. We don't want to go there. That's why, Honorable Stone, I think we must, it's a societal thing, we must develop these languages. Africa started in 1925, and it's a well-developed language now. And we must spend money, government must spend money. Lots of money in it, and I'm surprised here. I see, for instance, here that the budget for this national language services and the like is smaller than even the budget for the administration. It's 5%. Administration is 6%. So it means if government does not take this thing of languages serious, nobody will take it serious. If you only budget 5%, I mean, of your entire budget on languages, I think personally, I really think that's a problem. Another thing that I want to talk about here is your organogram. You have not said anything about it, and how, I mean, 50% full, I mean, vacancies filled, or 70%, what percentage is it, I mean, is it filled? You spoke about somewhere about 93, but 58, I think, 58 posts, I mean, filled, right? 93, which were advertised. And 54 filled in the previous year. 39 advertised but not filled. What would be the reason for that? Are you not getting the correct people? Because 93 minus 54 that you filled in, there are 39 posts that you advertised in the previous year, but you have not filled those posts. What would be the reason for that? You spoke about this whole question of mentorship and coaching, targeting female senior managers and the like, which I think is a good thing. What is the situation now in terms of representativity and that equity? What is the situation in your department now, especially in the senior management area? How many women do you have? And what is the target that you want to realize? And by when do you think you shall have realized your target? And this whole question of geographic names. I really think we are very slow, and I've said so last time also. I think we are painfully slow as a department to change those names that we need to change, and I mean, not in an arbitrary manner, of course. But I think we are slow. I was saying that Limpopo has actually done marvelous in terms of changing, especially the towns and the like. They've done well. There is not a single town today in Limpopo, if there are, but maybe few, which are still having colonial names. Very, very few in Limpopo. But other provinces is just quiet. I don't know why. Why is it so slow? I think we're very, very slow in that respect. Okay. Now, I see you've got 12.5% average this year in the MTF, 12.5%. You know, should I say the annual increase, you know, in terms of your budget. Is this actual or is this nominal? What is actual? You know, because it might be misleading just to say our money is increasing by 13%, while there is inflation and the like, and does not take inflation into consideration. What is the actual increment? Cannot be 13% or the 12.5%. What is, you know? Those are a few questions that I thought I would also put through. So I'm going to answer you, answer them all, and we will wrap up. Did you?
Thank you very much, Chairperson. Perhaps I'm going to be assisted in some of these questions by my colleague, or particularly the one that deals with HR, to name Mr. Zima. And the increase, maybe let's quickly deal with that one. The increase is a nominal increase, and that includes inflation. But let me try and give some systematic response to the questions that were raised. The official, we will give the details, is Mr. Mabaso, Chema Mabaso, but then we will give you the details of the telephone numbers and all of that. No, he's not here. No. With regard to the language centers, the language centers are really there for the creation, for the publication and promotion of literature in African languages. And the genesis is that the language enhancement and promotion will focus on the most marginalized of the languages. And we find that in African languages, the most marginalized are Siswati, Sindebele, Sitsonga, and Tshivenda. So the work that is being done then by the language centers is around those four languages for now, just for starting. The issue of there is a national policy framework for funding, which is adopted by all our funding agencies. The National Film and Video Foundation has got its funding policy, National Arts Council, and so forth. I think the challenge that is facing us is two. One, there is, when you look at the patterns of funding, you find that there are certain provinces who have got the skill to write proposals and what have you, and they've got the resources to do all that thing that they need to do, and they tend to get a bigger slice of the pie, and you find that is the case even with the lottery funding. I think we need to find a way or to simplify access, the manner in which people access resources, an example I had quite recently was one that came from Eastern Cape, the area of Kumbu, where people were playing traditional music. They wanted to get instruments, and then the next thing was that they were asked that they should write a proposal. And because the person who was answering the phone took it for granted that they can read and write. So, you know, but they couldn't. They couldn't read and write. So I think there are
there are challenges that we need to look at, honorable member. And this whole question of access to resources, it's a challenge, because it also then leads to disgruntlement and all other things. And perhaps what I need to undertake is to be able to say we need to pull our funding agencies together and actually get to the bottom of the issues of how do people access funding as an area of oversight. Historic schools, this project is looking at first. People wanted to say, let's look at your Lovedales, your Hilldown, your Kamane, Imembas, is it Imembas? Is it Inanda? They call each other members. That's the Inanda, yeah. Yeah, the Inanda and Osage, yes. So, then Marian Hill as well. There's also another one in here. There are a whole list of them, and spread throughout the country. The looking at them, people were looking at them not in a political context of saying this is where so and so studied, but we're looking at the school within a kind of a socio-historical context. What is it that the schools have done? Why is it that, when you look at the leadership, even of sub-Saharan Africa, was in these schools, and we were drawing from all the countries, particularly in the Sadc region, there was a tradition of excellence that was there. A tradition that people are still proud about the fact that my mom always prides herself that she went to Lovedale, you know, and she just like grew up being told that Lovedale. Even today she still talks Lovedale, you know, and at times now people, you don't find kids having that kind of attachment to them, you know. It's even hard. Forte was having a 100th anniversary. It's hard to find graduates of Forte contributing to Forte. What? What is it? You know, why is it that, for example, when you look at American Black historic schools, you know, all those guys, they will tell you, I went to Howard. They are still involved in Howard University. I went to whatever, they're still involved, you know? And so it's that thing of trying to generate and reconnect. There were values there, there was excellence there, there was leadership that came out of that. You know, what experiences can be taken out of that history so that we can spread it to other institutions? That was the thinking behind that. The question of community heritage is a very interesting one, because one of the things that we do not talk about national memory as South Africans. You know, for kids who are born after 1994, they think that the history of South Africa started in 1994. For those who were there before 1994, they talk about 1948. For those who were there before 1948, they talk about 1910, and from there, they talk 1652. Mm-hmm. And it's a very, very shallow approach towards the history of this country and the national memory. I mean, the depth and the breadth of it. So, Honorable Ember, I agree with you. And I think it starts at a local level. I was once taken by Prince Zulu, went to KZN and invited me to go to the historic gravesite of Zulu royals. And one of the gravesites he took me to was the grave of Queen Nandi, the mother of Shaka. And that grave is just sitting right in the middle of the community. And it is written there, because there's some misspelling, you know, of the but that grave is not vandalized. That grave, goats don't go over that grave. It's clean, it's everything, and it's just the community there. The community. So for us to begin, at times we turned, one person said to me, you South Africans like to want, you don't want to boil the water in a kettle, you want to boil the sea. And so we always like to come up with grand pictures, grand strategies, grand plans. And then lose the picture by not focusing just on the building blocks. And the building block is the community. So yes, it's important that these community heritage initiatives are supported. Conditional grants to provinces will provide that information. I've got it here. I can just give you a quick sense, but we will give you we'll send it electronically. The Eastern Cape received 17 million. It spent 10 million.
For what?
Free Cape received 16 million. It spent 16.5. Good spend for free state. Gauteng received 18 million. It spent 18.8. It spent 18.4. KwaZulu Natal 13.9. It spent 13.9. Yeah, the spend is good. Limpopo received 17 million and it spent 12.7. Mpumalanga received 22.8, it spent 22.5. Northern Cape 24, and it spent 21. Northwest received 16, it spent 15. Western Cape received 16.7, and have spent 16.7. So the amount that have been spent with regards to the other allocation is they roundly stand at 82.6%. The most. But the where we experience under expenditure has been Limpopo and the Eastern Cape. But we will forward that information, make it available. Yes, we do interact with the Department of Education or with library. Now, the matter of Malians, the Malians are born back. There's all the back and forth. That keeps on happening with them. I will address the matter of the tickets.
Hello. Please, I'm still chill.
I've got no agenda, but we will deal with it properly. Now, the last two matters. Yes, I agree. The language budget is insufficient. We will pay a little bit more attention to that. There are two outstanding matters. And I want to hand over to my two colleagues on my left, not in a political sense. And shall we be gentlemanly enough and start with Ms. Magila to deal with the issues of HR, and then we end up with you, Mr. D.
Let me start with the vacancy rate in relation to the achievements as captured, you know, in the document. Perhaps let me start by saying that, you know, the sentence should read as, out of 93 posts that have been advertised, you know, since October 2007, that there are 54 that have been filled. Yes, Chair, I guess, you know, we can do better in terms of speeding the process. especially that, you know, there are also requirements from the PPSA. But I've seen quite, you know, within the department there's been an improvement. We even have interviews over the weekends because we're mindful of the fact that we have to address the vacancy rate. The figures, I don't have them with me, but I think in terms of the previous reporting that we have managed to have, you know, the percentages as they were previously. But attempts to speed the process, are in place, and we are really trying to address the issue of the vacancy rate.
Research says that it takes government 8 months between advertising and employment. That's what the research says, and you are saying this is terrible. If it is true that government departments, it takes to advertise a post and to employ a person 8 months, I'm saying it's really terrible, honestly speaking. And we should try to shorten that time, if it is true.
Thanks, Chair. In the presentation, I think the DG touched on the issue of the OD exercise. One of the reasons why we embarked on the OD exercise is for us to have an HR plan. When you have an HR plan, you're able to address the issue of the time that you take in filling of positions, because you know from the very, very beginning of the financial year that have so many positions. And processes like job evaluation, you're able to introduce them on time, and you're able to fill the position within a specific time or period. And surely, you know, when we have finalized the OD exercise, we will not have such problems. Yes, I agree with Chair that, you know, you find out that there are cases, you know, in which, you know, some government departments take quite a long time to fill the position. Chair, if you allow me, I'll take the second question. I think there you also wanted the numbers to say you want the composition, you know, in terms of females and males in senior management level. The DPSA has set a target of 50-50 to be reached by 2010 by the public service in general. Currently in the department, we are at 40% females, and I think approximately 40%, and males at 60%. And we were appointed in the past 2 months. I think we were successful in appointing 3 senior managers, and that made a big difference in terms of the percentages. I may be incorrect, but we, you know, in terms of the percentages, I can see my colleagues, you know, they sort of, but, you know, there is an improvement, and we're mindful of the fact that we need to address that. Hence, we prioritize the mentorship and coaching programs. Thanks, Chair.
Chair, through you, we can then deal with the matter of geographical names and extended marketing. That's the last one.
Thank you, Chairperson. I would like to first respond to the question that was raised by an honorable member with regards to the new council that has been established, the South African Geographical Names Council. I just want to say that council is actually composed of national representatives and provincial representatives as per legislation, the South African Geographical Names Council Act. But also, I understand that the honorable member was also worried about issues that happened at the municipalities and the like. To address that matter, Chairperson, I would also like to indicate that, more particularly if you look at the naming and renaming of streets, that does not fall within the competence of the national legislation, and therefore it doesn't fall within the competence of the South African Geographical Names Council, because provincial or the municipalities or provincial government has got its own specific legislation, the Municipal Structures Act, and it's through that act that they actually rename streets. But of course, there is a need to do some form of coordination nationally, and that is why, in terms of the presentation that was provided by the DG here, he spoke about the envisaged public hearings that are going to be happening throughout the country. And what the minister has done, has actually written to all the premiers, to all the MECs, to all the mayors, so that those public hearings involve all structures or all the spheres of government, so that that national dialogue that is going to be happening around issues of Jokaskan name is going to touch on all those spheres of government. So in a way, that's going to be playing more of a coordinating role, and also ensuring that principles that are being followed are actually common principles. Procedures that are being followed are common procedures, and which we also think that by so doing, we'll be able to reduce tensions that are happening around issues of geographic harmony. We're not saying that we're going to completely eliminate that, because everything that has to do with name change will always have some tension. But also the whole issue of research, as we do this public hearing, we will ensure that the research component is very strong in order to also validate the accuracy of the names that are being put forward. And then the chairperson has raised a very pertinent point regarding the pace of renaming in the country. If I may say, chairperson, that the challenge that we have, and I don't also even see it as a challenge, because it addressed particular issues, is the fact that if you look at the South African Geographical Names Council Act, it doesn't allow national department to drive the process, because it's within the principle of checks and balances that you cannot be a player and a referee at the same time. So what the national department does is a referee at the end of the day. So it assumed, in a way, that you would have champions at the community level who would be driving these processes. And this process would be then fed to the national council, which will then look at these proposals, look at their validity and authenticity, and then recommend to the minister. That is why, chairperson, you see that there is kind of inconsistency in terms of how provinces actually are doing. And you correctly pointed out to the Limpopo how Limpopo has actually done as a province. It's because of the activism within the community. It's not because of the Department of Arts and Culture. Department of Arts and Culture has just been receiving proposals from the province. And I would just say that one would expect the same thing to happen with regards to other provinces. I don't know whether chairperson that does actually address some of the issues that you have raised. Thank you very much.
Any other thing, DG, do you have some parting words or something?
Parting words is thank you very much, chairperson, for the opportunity. I must express my appreciation and speaking on behalf of the team now, and as a leader of the delegation, I must express my appreciation about the engagement today. I found it very passionate, very precise, and it's very encouraging to us that when we present our work, we get this quality of response and in terms of what we do. And I really want to express my appreciation. I will, of course, after this, be reporting to my political principals about the presentation itself. I do hope that we will have a great budget vote on arts and culture. And the last one, I really would like an opportunity to come back on the community libraries and community art centers, so that the community can have a sense of what you are doing on the ground. And thank you very much for all your support and the congratulations message. Thank you.
Thank you very much, DG. On our behalf also, we really want to also thank you and your entourage for this engagement. And the way you came, I mean, this big delegation shows that you take the work of Parliament very seriously. And we appreciate it very much. We also want to wish you well in your endeavors, want to wish you well in your work, so that you are able to achieve that which you have set yourself out to achieve. And unfortunately, your budget vote is not going to be debated this year in the NCOP, because, you see, we're dealing with many departments, and year in and year out, we've got to decide as to which one we want to take. We have prioritized this year education and sports and recreation, not because arts and culture is insignificant, but because of, you know, other reasons, like, for instance, 2010 and all those sorts of things. So that's the reason why we have prioritized this. And want to assure you that come next year this time, if we will still be here, we will be in a position, we will actually prioritize arts and culture. And of course, I've thrown the ball back into your court in terms of those library things. But once you are ready, tell us, you know, tell us so that we will actually slot you in to disappoint one member of this committee as well. Who is watching our dirty linen in public. And we will reprimand them for that at the appropriate time. Thank you very much, DG. And this meeting is closed. You are hanging it in public. Okay. Sorry, I'm told there's some finger lunch there for everybody. Some finger lunch there, you are invited. Oh, sorry, yeah, no, I think it's important that what church is going to announce, ne? I forgot, you know, it's important. But it's not meant for you, but you can, so that there's no disruption. Can you do it, ma'am?
Honorable Matangu is busy engaging the provincial legislature. MJ Matangu, our chairperson of the council, is addressing the provincial legislature so that by Friday there must be brief. But you all know that tomorrow we've got a debate on education budget vote. Members will leave late, and Friday will be briefing those provinces. KZN, Limpopo, Northwest, Mpumalanga, I think, and five, they've confirmed. We're still waiting for other provinces for. Okay, also confirmed. But now I'll hand over to you. We have to make sure about our flights, especially those will be connecting Limpopo, Northwest, and this man is not going to connect. He can go from here to there, and maybe Novo.
No, let's talk.
But let's talk about those logistics.
Let's talk about the weather, because I can't just now, when I'm leaving tomorrow.
I think what is important is that the permanent delegates are expected to brief their provinces on Friday. Everyone has got to brief his province on Friday, because this very Friday. It's expected. No, but that's what I expect. If you can't, it's your own problem and your province, not our problem. You see, we're just giving you information as to what it is that is expected of you.
Of
getting to
the
Pope,
it's either we hire a car for you or you take
a
flight. These are
those logistical
things. We'll deal with them. Thank you. Anything?
Yeah, no, I've only received two confirmations thus far from Gauteng, who's tomorrow, and Free State, who's tomorrow as well. Okay.
Okay.
Bumalana.
I haven't received anything from them yet. I think
correspondence
to the provincial
liaison. No, but Gauteng, it is tomorrow, and tomorrow. It's not like debating tomorrow. How does it go there?
Yeah, Free State informed me.
No, who's Tula?
Yeah, no, Free State.
Well, yeah, no, just Tula in Free State.
Yeah, no, the provincial liaison requested that I ask the department.
Oh, okay, fine. No, that's fine. Yeah.
No, I'm not responsible for the logistics, Mambi. It's an NCOP, Tola.
But you must assist it, so come up. You must assist it. This is our committee work. Just ask them.
Yeah, no, it's fine. I'll assist where I can, yes, ma'am. No, it's fine. Yeah. Because they always pay for briefing
care.
We only pay for second briefing, second round. Yeah, but for first round, it's the NGOP event.
Okay, just a month.
Who's doing that? That's PMG
from
the...
When?
Thank you so much.